Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
I feel like Black Jesus.
We've seen the story before. We've seen the story before.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
On Christmas, 122 to 115 behind a triple-double from James Harden and 31 points from Patty Mills. James lobs it up.
Oh, big finish! Anthony Davis to open play. Welcome back to the Brown.
And the beat's so loud, deep inside.
This is similar to what happened in the Blazers game against Toronto. On Sunday, Edwards ends the drought for the Timberwolves.
Point of contention.
I don't know about the reports.
Do you enjoy New York City?
Yeah.
Lie. Lying motherfucker.
Machine is never wrong, son.
Fuck, man. Welcome to Point of Contention, five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Happy Peanut Brittle Day. I'm Zach Harper. Jade Hoyt is producing. Coming up on the show, between a rock and a hardened place, Lakers turnaround, the heat of the moment. Anthony Edwards drops 40 again, and Giannis creeping up in that MVP race. Let's get to our two contestants in this corner. From the super charming and soft streets of Longmeadow, Massachusetts, Celtics beat reporter and future author of the book, The Jaylen Brown Out, How Many Brad Zarens Does It Take to Screw in a Light Bulb? It's Jay, the kid, the god on Peloton King. Jay, what's the bigger scam? Cryptocurrency or non-fungible tokens, a.k.a. NFTs?
I'm a crypto guy. I'm a believer in crypto. So I'm going to have to go with NFTs. I just don't understand. Well, I've never been an art guy in the first place. Like, you would never see me spending a lot of money on art. So I'm certainly not going to spend a lot of money on digital art that I could just copy and save and use as my own anyway. So that's my take on NFTs.
I think they're both scams. I think wealthy
Top
people get rich off them.
Too.
Top Shot is stupid. You know why? Because I can look at those highlights whenever the hell I want, and I didn't pay any money for
them.
There's
this little thing called YouTube, guys.
Yeah, there's a little thing called the old internet. Exactly. All right. And in this corner, Bay Area legend, author of two books about the Warriors and a brand new book on sale now, Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever, the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, this isn't me. Actual question in the rundown, are the 49ers going all the way?
They are going all the way to SoFi Stadium, baby, to L.A.
Yep.
They are going to make it
That's
there.
Right. And we're staying there, baby. You know why? Because that's where the Super Bowl is.
That's where the Super Bowl is. I don't know if I'm calling a seventh straight.
We got a two-week trip, baby.
I don't know if
that's
I can
what
call
it is.
A seventh straight.
Jimmy G.
Seventh straight
you know what
is
the
a
G
lot,
stands
bro.
For? Gets to the Super Bowl. That's what it stands for.
Against all odds.
You know what the G stands for? Gets nothing but wins against the Rams. You know what the G stands for? Get this podcast going. All right, Jay, start the clock. Take one. Go Harden or go home. Earlier this week, it was revealed in an article on Bleacher Report that James Harden had informed several confidants of his interest in exploring opportunities outside the Brooklyn Nets. And he can become a free agent this offseason. Quote, James isn't going to hold back, said a person familiar with Harden. That probably means something. The source listed these three things as the keys to Harden's frustrations. One, the status of Kyrie Irving as a part-time player. Two, Steve Nash's fluid rotations. And three, Harden has not enjoyed living in Brooklyn. On Tuesday night, following a loss to the Lakers, Harden appeared baffled. When reporters questioned him, Harden said, "Talking about reports, I don't know about any reports. Did you guys hear it from me?" Jake, play the tape.
James, not to beat a dead horse or belabor the point, but just to be specific, one of the complaints that the report claimed that you had was with rotations, you know, not having set crunch time rotations.
I don't know. Listen. I don't know about any reports. Of course, I'm frustrated because, you know, we're not healthy. You know, we're just, it's a lot of inconsistency for whatever reason, injuries, COVID, whatever you want to call it. But it's frustrating. I think everybody in this organization is frustrated because we are better than what our record is and we should be, you know, on the way up. So that's all it is. I don't know about reports. If you didn't hear from me, like, I don't talk to nobody. I have an agent. Like, you know, if you don't hear from me, then it's reports.
I've heard that tape. I know that if there's one person who sounds like he's bad at lying, even if he's telling the truth, it's James Harden in that tape. Meanwhile, Kendrick Perkins had a park alert of his own while appearing on Showtime's All the Smoke. Quote, "This is real life. This is not rumors. James Harden camp is telling people in Philly, we want to come play with Embiid next year." Jade, played that tape.
I'm going to just give you hints and you can figure it out, but James Harden didn't sign his contract extension. Mm-hmm. All right? He didn't sign it. He was supposed to sign it. He was supposed to go KD, Kyrie, James Harden. Didn't happen. All right? So he didn't sign it. Now, James Harden camp is telling people in Philly, we want to come play with Embiid next year. This ain't no lie. This facts. But then he telling the Brooklyn Nets, the ownership group different. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, Perk was actually the first person to say publicly that Ben Simmons was thinking about not reporting to the Sixers camp. Marcus, are you buying this podium denial from Harden, or does this story have legs, and should we expect those legs to do a step-back jumper to put James in Philadelphia in a couple of weeks?
This story has better legs than James Harden himself. This story has legs that will survive four quarters and shoot 50% from the field, like the arc. That's how much legs this story has. Listen, I understand he had 227 on the table, but anybody who walks away for more than 50 a year and don't sign that extension while Kevin Durant is signing, to me, that was the dead giveaway, right? That was the sign that, okay, somebody's not staying here. I don't care. Mm-hmm. If you're with Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant signs the extension and you don't. Even if this story doesn't have legs, you just gave it some. So to me, that was the telltale. But it makes perfect sense. Him back with Maury, like him getting to run what he wants to run, him getting the big man he always dreamed Clint Capella would become. And Clint Capella never became.
Goodness. Why have Clint Capella catching strays here? That's unnecessary.
Yeah. It makes a ton of sense. And I actually think it might be a better fit, even though I would hate the fact that we never got to see the big three. That's a better fit for where Harden is, having a center who can carry the team and have him not have to make, to take our football tone, pass Bruce Brown open.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, that's a good point. Jay, let me throw this theory at you. If you were Daryl Morey, and you were maybe trying to drum up a little bit of panic, a little bit of interest at the trade deadline to go get Ben Simmons, if you're another team, maybe leak out that, hey, don't worry about trading for Ben Simmons before the deadline. I'm going to go get James Harden with him this summer.
Yeah, that would be a good play by Morey. Here's why I don't believe it. Because Harden didn't really try to deny the reports. He said he'd never heard the reports. And then in the same answer, he's like, yeah, I'm frustrated. Yeah, of course I'm frustrated. We've had so much inconsistency. And he's like, I don't know why we've had inconsistency. Well, I know why. Because Kyrie Irving
Maybe Maury's plan actually duped Harden, though. Maybe Maury sent this out and Harden was like, hey, you know what?
Maury knows Harden better than he knows himself. Yes.
That is true. Maury does know him well. But yeah, I mean, I know exactly why they've had inconsistency. Because Kyrie Irving decided not to get vaccinated. And the Nets told him to basically stay home. And a team that was built around three superstars has not had one of those, at least one of those, for almost every single game this season. So yeah, I'd be frustrated too. I'd be frustrated that Kyrie just decided to be a part-time player and for a while just a not at all player, I'd be frustrated that a team that really needs to win now, because those guys are getting up in age. You never know how much longer they're going to stay at the level they are. And in Harden's case, it seems like he's already slipping at least a little bit. There's urgency now, and Harden feels that. Harden knows that, and he's got to be so sick of Kyrie Irving, so sick of a team that just has been in kind of a malaise, even though they've been pretty good this year. It hasn't been nearly as crisp as it was last year. I've got a theory about Harden that his frustration level is directly correlated to the level of defensive lowlights he has. You watch that game against the Lakers. LeBron had two straight breakaway dunks, and Harden just stood there and watched. He was a statue. He did not even think about getting back on defense, even though on the first one, he was actually closer to the basket than LeBron was when the whole thing started. He just kind of stood there.
Yeah, but is he going to go get in the way?
He got shades on
block LeBron.
Like, come on, man. It wasn't a chase down block. He was like 10 feet in front of him.
It was like normal transition
happened.
Defense, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, take this charge from this train that's coming here.
I'm just saying, it's starting to feel like shades of when Harden was disgruntled in Houston. And it's not to that level yet. But remember in Houston, all of a sudden he looked disinterested. He looked like he didn't want to be there at all. I'm just saying, those two plays, they made me wonder.
So you expect him to put on a fat suit and just stop trying? Is that what you...
Yeah.
Isn't that what he did? All of a sudden he was thin when he got traded to Brooklyn? On. Yeah.
If we see him in a club with, like, you know, 50 Cent or something, then we can know he's done.
Yeah, they will know that it's going to be an issue for them. Well, they did lose to the Lakers Tuesday night. Speaking of, take two. Lakers are back? Led by a finally healthy Anthony Davis and a completely healthy LeBron James. Lakers dropped the aforementioned James Harden Nets Tuesday night, 109-96. The Lakers are now a heroic 24-24. And last I checked, Frank Vogel still the head coach. Wait a second. Hold on. Let me pull up Shams' tweets. Yep. Still the head coach. Davis looked good in his return. 8 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, 4 block shots. Over 25 minutes, LeBron James had a great night, 33 points, and had the Brooklyn fans buzzing. Jade, play the tape.
Fendoff gives it up, and this time James anticipates. LeBron James, big time flush.
A week ago, this team was reeling. Frank Vogel's job in jeopardy. Magic's genie bus was deserving of more, and Russell Westbrook was benched. Westbrook, the main focus of this Lakers team's failures and scapegoating, was reportedly disappointed after getting yanked. But in the 2 games since, Russ averaged 21 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists on 53% from the field. According to an ESPN report, this risky move has paid some quick dividends. Frank ripped the Band-Aid off, one team source said, after concerns were raised that such an act might erode Westbrook's confidence. Trade rumor winds now swirling of a John Wall for Westbrook swap. In any case, it appears, at least for now, Vogel earned himself some capital. So, Jay, are you as confident as last week that Vogel is going to be fired? And are the Lakers turning this shipping sink around?
Vogel is going to get fired at some point. It's just a matter of when they have some downturn. I loved the idea that Russell Westbrook's confidence could possibly erode just because
there's no way he would care, right?
There's no way.
I mean, this is a Russell dude who's taking bank shots off the top of a backboard and did it again. Like, he's good.
It's still clapping for good. The ball. Like, give me the ball.
Then goes back to next possession and launches a 3-ball. Like, this is, he's shot like 20-something percent from three and still taking like 5 a game. Yeah. So, no, I don't think his confidence is going to erode no matter what Vogel decides down the stretch. This team, like, Russ is never going to be the right fit. The only thing that can save Vogel and can save this Lakers season, I still don't think they have a chance to win a championship, but it's Anthony Davis and LeBron James just playing at such a high level that none of the other stuff matters. And I think that's possible, but also, like, those guys have to be top 5 players at the same time consistently every single night to mask everything else that is wrong with this team. Marcus, are you buying the return of the Lakers to not just competency, but contender?
Nah, I'm chill on that contender business, man. Can't, we just got to level. We got to take our time, man. Like,
no, it's got to amp up, Marcus. AD's back. Put him on the podium.
To escape the play-in tournament?
Also, quick Maybe. Question on just philosophically. If you turn around a sinking ship, isn't it still sinking? It's just sinking in a different direction?
I mean, technically. Or unless it was going down. But that would be lifting a sinking ship, right? Why is it turning around a sinking ship? Yeah. It's bad. It's a terrible analogy. All I'm saying is I still feel like we aren't seeing the playoff Lakers. We're seeing playoff LeBron. Now, this thing could combust, right? Like, all of the issues could somehow manifest together in the postseason.
No, Marcus, they're 500 now. They're good.
They're not good, but it's not like, you know, it's incendiary. I mean, LeBron's playing incredible, and that has to account for something, that LeBron is incredible still, and it at least keeps alive this idea that when they get to the postseason, LeBron could do something spectacular. I can't get it in my head that Anthony Davis is done, right? Like, he's going to be good again. And you know what, man? That's enough to put a scare. Like, I could see them. I don't think they're going to win a title. But if they ended up in the West Finals, like, would that be the most crazy thing? LeBron has done crazier things.
They've played such stupid basketball this year that, I would be surprised. But if they stop playing stupid basketball, I mean, they only had 8 turnovers, right, against the Nets. Like,
so much of it is
lack of stupid basketball there.
So much of it is
that.
It's that.
So, Marcus, I was talking about this on the radio Wednesday morning. How do you think LeBron looks at the other teams in the West? Like, do you think he takes the Suns more seriously now than he did last year?
He wants to be a part of one of them. Maybe all of them.
Do you think he looks at the Warriors and thinks like, oh shit, they're back? Or does he look at them and think like, I took care of them in 2016.
I think he looks at them like, let's get this Utah matchup cracking. I mean, all of this is happening in theory, right? Presumptively.
Poor
because
Jazz.
LeBron is like, yo, can I get some help? Right? Can somebody else help me with this load? So you've got to think, he's looking at what he has around. It's like, we got to go stop the Warriors. We got to go deal with Phoenix. Like, this is why Russ is here to kind of help with that. And he's having to do it all anyway. So I think he's looking at, I can see him looking at Memphis like, we can take down Memphis. We can take down Utah. But, man.
Yeah. Historically, looking at, like, we need to get past Clay and Steph. Let's go get Russ. Maybe not the most foolproof plan to take down the Warriors is to go get Russ. That generally doesn't work.
Then Kevin O'Connor's recent report that they're shopping around Kendrick Nunn, Talen Horton-Tucker, and like a 2027 first round pick. Like, good luck,
for
guys.
What?
good luck finding some help with that. And that's what they have to offer.
Like, It has to come from within, right? It just has to come from, we're going to stop playing dumb basketball and we're going to have our talent and our basketball intelligence take over. It has to.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I mean,
like,
yes.
They have to defend at least.
It has to, to me, that's where, Russ, I mean, Carmelo, God bless him, I don't know if he can do anything, but Russ clearly still has the ability. He just can't be a turnstile. At some point, he's got to knuckle up and be like, all right, let's go.
The thing is, though, like, we keep going back to defense, right? And justifiably so, but the defense is better than the offense. The offense sucks. The offense is bottom 10 in the league. At least the defense is around league average, right? Like, Jay, like, they may need to fix the offense more than the defense.
And that's kind of been the way it was the whole time LeBron and Anthony Davis have been together, except when they were great, the defense was the best in the league, and the offense lagged a little bit behind that. Whereas now it's like defense is extremely mediocre, probably worse than that, and the offense is just worse. So I don't think they're not going to have a great offense with this team. Like with Russ and
AD, like, there's just too many spacing issues to have a great offense. There's not enough shooting. So you have to play good to great defense, at least to give yourself a chance. And I don't think they can. That's why I think we talk all the time about the Lakers, but they're frauds of the highest order. They are.
Wow. Frauds of the highest order.
Frauds of the highest order. They've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
You're going to be so scared when they win that first round matchup and they start clicking in the playoffs. You're going to be like,
they take down those girls.
Who would they actually beat? Clipped,
ready to go.
Who would they beat in the first round? Utah, maybe.
I don't know, because they have to get out of the
Memphis. They might have a chance.
They have to.
Dallas?
I'm not convinced they avoid the playoffs.
Dallas would have to be top four for them to have a chance of playing them.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they won't play Dallas.
And the Lakers aren't getting up to the five seed, so like we don't need to do that.
Hold on.
They're getting beat first round. I'm pretty
They're half game behind the Wolves right now. They're half game behind the Wolves as of this recording. Okay, let's all just relax a little bit before we start talking about four or five matchup in the West.
Behind the four seed.
Behind the four seed. That's with the four seed struggling for 2 weeks in a way they usually don't. All right.
What is going on in Utah, by the way? That's weird.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell's got a concussion. Rudy Gobert was out with COVID.
Tim Hardaway Jr. just broke his foot last night in the Warriors
game. Dallas,
And believe it or not, like, Jason Kidd had him playing defense. So that's...
Top five in the league. They're good defense.
That's a pretty significant blow.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Speaking of good defensive teams. Take three. Holy shit. Let's get away from the dysfunctional NBA teams for a minute and take a look at the Eastern Conference standings. Oh, my God. There's a new king atop the East, Jay. I don't know if you've been paying attention. That's the Miami Heat, that of the Heat culture. We're now 30-17 at the time of this recording, taking over the reeling Bulls with the return of Bam Adebayo last week. This team is about to hit its stride. There's also news out that, you know, Victor Oladipo will return to the floor in February, maybe. Got to start talking about the Heat briefly last week, boys, but why not talk about them again? Spo, Jimmy, Bam, Lowry, and now maybe Depot? Marcus, this ain't your 2020 bubble Heat now. This is a potential juggernaut that is about 11 deep. I don't know about you. Starting to feel the Heat, boys. The Heat is on, Marcus. What say you?
It's too early. I need this Heat after the break.
All right, well, hold on. Let me add this incentive, all right, before you say it's too early. Giannis's comments in a recent interview with The Athletic, in which he seemed to say the Heat benefited from playing in the bubble. He said, I felt like Miami was built to be an NBA bubble team, you know? Shots fired, Marcus.
They were built to be an NBA bubble team, though. Jimmy was built.
Just because you guys weren't paying attention before the pandemic hit to this Heat team doesn't mean that they were built to be in the bubble. All right. So
they were. They
I know
were
you're a big Bucks guy, Marcus, but Heat culture is something. But hold, you know it. I know it. Can the Heat go all the way this time?
Can they go all the way? Absolutely. I do.
Will
think,
they?
I don't think they will, but I do think they can.
Who's going to beat them?
Milwaukee. I'm still rolling with Milwaukee. Listen, here's the part where the only part I have for pause on the Heat. Which Tyler Herro are we getting?
He's been balling so well.
Yeah. It's like, hold on, this can't be. Come on.
Wow.
I'm just He's averaging.
Apparently, someone. He's averaging 21. Someone didn't watch his boxing training, in which he looked like a double dragon character swinging uppercuts.
Tyler Hero sits. They lost to the Warriors at home or in Oakland, mm-hmm. right? And what Steve Kerr called the greatest underman performance he's seen. He was just like, I can't believe that. So he was just going off on the game that they won, but the Warriors won. But since then, Tyler Hero's averaging 18 shots a game. He's shooting 40% from the field.
We got to put him up, man.
Jay, the dude is averaging 21 points on 36% from three. He's shooting worse than Steph Curry right now. Is he just going to chump?
He's instant offense off the bench. Yes,
is he just
going to
chump forever?
He sure is going to chump.
No, this, if he's just going to chump like this, they're not going to win.
They've won 16 of their last 22.
If he's going to chuck like this, they're not going to win in the playoff. I would feel a lot better if it was Duncan Robinson.
Since that loss to the Warriors.
They have not lost. I think they're lost once.
They've lost twice. They lost to the Sixers once. They lost to the Hawks once.
Yeah,
barely.
They've been, but
they've
it's
been
like
running off wins left
10
and
out
right.
Of 12 or something, right?
7 and 2. 7 and here's, 2, yeah.
Here's the thing about the Heat. They can beat you in so many ways. Mm-hmm. They've got
I just don't
two
like
sharp
this way.
Shooters.
I don't like the Tyler Hero against the world way. Show me other ways.
They have the third best offense in the league.
What I'm saying, they have Max Strus and Duncan Robinson as two sharpshooters. They've got Jimmy and Kyle Lowry getting to the rack. They've got Bam Adebayo just dicing guys, whether it's off the bounce, on the offensive glass, everything. They've got Hero coming off the bench. He can get you 30.
Caleb Martin, brothers are nice.
That is just loaded, mm-hmm. loaded with tough and versatile guys. Like, they can beat you in so many ways. And I think the fact that they're number one in the Eastern Conference, given how many injuries and COVID absences they've dealt with, mm-hmm. is crazy. Mm-hmm. And I think it shows that this team is built to last. Because I thought they were a team that was built for the playoffs, and for them to be doing this in the regular season with, you know, their eighth, ninth guys having to start games, they're incredibly impressive. They're incredibly complete, and they do have a chance to win the title.
And Eric Spoelstra will not win Coach of the Year.
He probably won't. I know it's probably gonna be like JB Bickerstaff or Monty Williams. Are bad for not giving it to you last year. Right. Like, it'll be one of those. Yeah,
I think it's crazy that they're this good, and Jimmy and Tyler Hero are just completely inefficient, and they're still this good. Like, this is unbelievable.
And Jimmy's missed 18 games as of this recording. Bam missed 25 games, missed Bam. More games than
I'm
he's played.
I'm about ready to trade Bam, by the way, because Omer is like a monster.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I'm not trading Bam.
You're on the year seven trade.
I'm on that trade tough, bro.
Seven.
I wouldn't do it now, but hey, Bam, you better watch your back, buddy.
Uh-oh. We got a guy on a minimum getting buckets.
Yo, that dude is nice, bro. Like,
giving Embiid the business.
He is nice. I'll take him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that's the thing. Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler have not shot well from three, right? Kyle's at 32%. Jimmy's at 24%.
This is nuts.
And Duncan Robinson hasn't been that good. Like, he's
40% from three
right
for
now.
Him is like slump, right? It's like struggle.
He's 35.8 on the season. He's great. This is the weird thing, right? So this is the Duncan Robinson split. Which doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. On the road, he's shooting 39% from three. At home, 31%.
Yeah.
Like, Duncan Robinson is just an anomaly this year.
Yeah, I don't get this team. They're incredibly good. They're tough as nails, right? And they have
plenty of
experience.
You know what you get with this team, Marcus?
You get
a trip to Miami in June. That's what you get.
I wouldn't be mad with that.
That's what you get.
I wouldn't be mad with that at all.
They've got a chance. They've got a chance.
I do believe that. I do believe that they absolutely could win it. They need a lot to go right, but they absolutely could win it. No question about it. And you know, you were talking about like they can beat you in so many ways. They can defend in many ways too. That to me, mm-hmm. the versatility they have on defense is really something. We haven't even really talked about PJ Tucker, right? Like, who, you know, right. they just got so many of those guys. they can go big, they can go small, they can throw like a bunch of shooters on the floor, they can go like wingy. I actually think Gabe Vincent is developing into a really nice little player, you know what I'm saying? Coached by Mike Brown in the Olympics, baby. Team Nigeria, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that shout out is, but yeah, I know for sure. I'm with you on that. The one thing that worries me for the Bucks in a matchup with the Heat in the playoffs is if Brooke Lopez isn't healthy. Because I think Brooke Lopez changes that dynamic that matchup. No, I'm saying like because like we know moving forward, like Brooke may not be back, right? He had back surgery. I don't know if you can count on him being there in the playoffs and deep in the playoffs. So if he's not there, you know, the Bucks can still play, obviously. They're still very good. But that was a matchup that was an issue for the Heat, like pretty heavily in that series.
I think Jay.
That's a big duty. Jay was saying there's a lot more and protect the rim. Well, I know it's Heat culture, man. You know what? We could spend 5 hours on Heat culture and just how great he is. Like
they've got Giannis, they got Chris Middleton, and Zach's like, you know what? Brooke Lopez is the only dude they got to worry about.
No, I'm saying that's the thing that I would worry about if I'm the Bucks. Like I is not having Brooke Lopez because that was a game changer. That's a strategy changer for what the Heat want to do.
The Bucks have had to readjust what they do without him.
The Bucks need to the Heat need to worry about which of their players Grayson Allen's going to take out. That's what they need to worry about.
Grayson, back on this again. Grayson, back on. Just again. I would be careful about who on that team you go after because there is a Haslam lurking wherever. Whatever you do, there is a Haslam lurking.
Haslam, forget about Haslam. Jimmy, Bam, Lowry. DJ, you know Lowry can mix it up. They got Markieff Morris. Come on,
I wouldn't sleep on O'Meara either, right? Like.
No, man.
I bet your seven can throw hands.
I bet your seven can throw hands.
Call him Hurt Seven, man, because he's hurt.
He probably doesn't even have to throw hands because he just looks at you and you're just like, all right, man, you're right. You're right.
By the way, seven. he's got good hair. That Omer your seven's got good hair. All right. Take four. Anthony Edwards saw fear in the eyes of his defender last night. Over in the West, while you were sleeping, the Timberwolves have quietly put together a season. That's right. They are now 24-23, seventh in the West, winners of seven of the last 10 games. Behind Anthony Edwards, 40 points. They dropped the lowly Trailblazers on Tuesday night, 109-107. When it was all over, Edwards put
up
40.
Don't call them the lowly Trailblazers. I did that on Twitter the other night, and I got lit up by Blazers fans.
They're so under 500, though. This isn't the Blazers of the past.
I'm just saying, watch out for the Blazers fans.
They're not good. They are so lowly.
Don't get it twisted. They are lowly.
What? Jade, play the tape.
They're the lowly Trailblazers. They're the lowly Trailblazers. They're the lowly Trailblazers. Oh, yeah.
They're not good.
They're the lowly Trailblazers. They're the lowly Trailblazers. They're the lowly Trailblazers.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Don't call them the lowly Trailblazers. I did that on Twitter the other night. And I got lit up by Blazers fans.
They're not good.
They are lowly, but don't let the Blazers fans hear you call them lowly.
Oh, God. Get out of here. Edwards put up 40 on 27 shots, 9 rebounds, 3 blocks, and 3 steals. The fourth time in his career, he scored at least 40 points. He's played a season and a half. Play the tape.
Portland's been missing a lot of open shots. Edwards, it's been his night, and Ant's doing superhuman strength. He is flexing the muscle tonight.
How did it feel for the young budding superstar? Jade, play that tape.
Everybody's coming.
Feel like Black Jesus.
Sit back for this one.
Everybody's coming.
Feel like Black Jesus.
Sit back for this one.
I saw the man in front of me, and saw fear in his eyes, I guess. That was all she wrote.
Feel like Black Jesus.
Talk to me.
As the Athletics' Johnny K. John Krasinski put it, there is nothing quite about Edwards. He grabbed this game by the throat and squeezed until it bent to his will, and there was never a doubt in his mind that he would take it. Asked when he figured he would enter the MVP conversation, Edwards didn't flinch.
It might not be this year, but next year for sure. Feel like Black Jesus. I was a runner-up rookie of the year, so, you know, that's cool, but I'm going for MVP next year for sure.
Talk to me.
Feel like Black Jesus.
Talk to me.
thoughts? When he's going to enter the MVP conversation. What an electric question.
Your thoughts on Ant and this young Wolf Scott, this young Wolf squad battling it out for a playoff spot in the West. Can they do it?
So Anthony Edwards has been, from the time he got into the NBA, one of the most entertaining characters that the league has. He's hysterical. He is fearless. He doesn't care. There's just a joy to him that not many people, never mind professional athletes, have. He is turning from that entertaining character into a legitimately tantalizing prospect. You look at this dude, he is huge. He is super athletic. He's shooting 37 point something percent from three. He can create his shot whenever he wants because he's big enough to do it. His efficiency, which was a problem even in college, is all of a sudden looking up, up, up. And like he is turning into a problem quickly. And it changes things for the Timberwolves. Obviously, they've been on like a journey to try to learn how to play winning basketball over the last several years. And Karl Towns has been part of that.
Since 2004,
yeah. They play hard. And I do think Anthony Edwards, like Karl Towns is going to be very good for a very long time. But I think Edwards is the variable for them. If he reaches his potential, like it's pretty scary.
I love this dude, yo. Like he's so fun. Refreshing. He literally called himself Black Jesus.
I've been calling myself White Jesus for a long time.
Isn't that just your Jesus? Sorry, my bad.
Pasty Jesus. You want to be historically accurate? You know what? We'll save this for the next week. We'll save this for next week.
I mean,
when I'm on vacation.
The dude named his dog after himself. Like he should.
Yeah, Ant Jr.
Yeah, like this.
That is incredible.
Right? I mean, the amount of swag this guy has. But I'm like, Jay, to me, the difference is this year, he's backing it up with, like, not just like better numbers, his efficiency, like his shooting percentage is up, his assist percentage is up, right? Like his, and without a higher usage rating. So it's not like he's just taking over more. He's just playing smarter basketball. But man, in the moment, he is like, I got this. And when's the last Timberwolf to do that was Kevin Garnett, I mean. Like, or maybe Marbury.
Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy. I forget about that one year.
I forget about that 1 year. And he did it out of spite to the young guys. It wasn't
it. It was, they just don't have that. And like, he is galvanizing D'Angelo Russell and Carl Anthony Towns. Like, he, in many ways, they're like old heads who seem a little bit content with just riding it out. As like, and he's like, nah, we're not doing this. We're about to be good.
He rocks the boat.
Yeah, like he like, no, we're about to be good. It's crazy.
He called out Cat for not handling double teams. Like he called him out but in a way that was like, look, if you do this right, we're going to be hard to guard. So we need you to not turn the ball over when you get doubled. Like he's out there leading in his second season. It's impressive. It's
crazy, yo. Especially considering the knock on him when he came into the league, right? The slights on him that were legit slights, right? He was a volume, like, you know, shooter who could get hot. And he if you watch his game, he takes smart shots. He gets aggressive in the fourth quarter. He's never scared of the moment. Like all those little traits. I remember there was when they came to play the Warriors. And I was talking with Draymond, and D'Angelo Russell came over, and you know he's like, "Yo, D'Lo, why you ain't? When I'm gonna get my text back? You know, I hit you." He's like, "Oh, I'm gonna hit you back." And then we're walking off, and one guy, Draymond's walking off, right? He's done his meet and greet with the Timberwolves. He's done, and then I'm walking off with him, and he hears somebody call him. He knew who it was immediately. Stopped what he's doing, went back, and it was Anthony Edwards. And then I'm like, "Yo, you went back for rookies?" Like, "Nah, that dude, that's my." Like, that dude's legit. And Draymond, it took Draymond forever to say Carl Anthony Towns was legit, right? So, like, he don't just hand that out, but they know that Anthony Edwards is for real. And they just don't anoint dudes like that. Not even their own teammates, right? So
he might be Timberwolves.
No
proof.
Question.
Like Anthony Edwards might be
to
Timberwolves.
To the point proof, where, you know, you're like, and then, can they keep this dude? Like, They might.
Oh, we're already doing that. Might, hold on.
Oh,
whoa.
Man.
If he is already.
Zion, this young man, don't you dare.
If they don't make the moves and put him in position, is there anybody more likely than Anthony Edwards to be like, oh, no, this ain't going to cut it, y'all? Like he's not only going to think and say it privately, he's going to get on a mic and say, I don't like these moves. What are y'all doing? Y'all not trying to win.
There's going to be a certain point where he tries to become the next player coach, right? Like, and that's not a knock on Chris Finch. I just think he's going to be like, I think I can do it, guys.
Fortunately for him, Finch is pretty good, though.
He's pretty good. And like you said, like, Towns is a laid-back guy. Russell is a laid-back guy. Like, not just, it seems, in life, but also, like, on the court, they are super laid-back. And Edwards, he seems to be super laid-back off the court, but on it, like, there's just a different level of urgency to him and a different level of, like, just bring it to the other team. That 40-point performance, like, they're down three, he hits an and-one three. Mm-hmm. They're down two, he drives to the bucket, finishes through contact over, like, three guys for an and-one. It was so many key buckets in a game that they probably wouldn't have won. They definitely wouldn't have won otherwise. Like, he really carried them to that win.
Yeah.
What's impressed me most about the Timberwolves, with Towns, with Russell, I thought there was no chance they would have a good defense. They're top 10 in defense.
Hey, Jared Vanderbilt, man. That dude deserves all defensive team. Like, Jared Vanderbilt has kept that thing together defensively.
Yeah, and so, like, I thought the path to them getting to 500 or better was having an offense that just mutilates you. And really, they've just buckled down and played defense. And if you can play defense and then Edwards eventually evolves into something much better than what he is right now, which I think he will, he's on that trajectory, then they might have something down the road.
Maybe an MVP. Speaking of, take five MVP odds. That's right, fellas. Time to get out those wallets as we take a look at the MVP odds over at BetMGM, available in New York now. Giannis is back, tied with Steph at plus 300, Joel Embiid plus 325, followed by reigning MVP Nikola Jokic at plus 375, and then a sizable gap between him and Ja Morant, who is at plus 1600, Kevin Durant down to plus 3000 after the injury, LeBron plus 3500, DeRozan plus 4000. What is happening? All right, Marcus, here is $500 of James Edward III's coat budget, okay? $500. Who you got?
Steph Curry. It's becoming a better bet now. It's becoming a safer bet.
Even though he's been
shooting like me,
highly inefficient since
November 26th.
Yes.
You know, here's why I'm saying that, because he's obviously dropping in the rankings, right? So now it's a higher value bet. But also, they're somehow winning. You're going to look up. You're going to look up and they're going to have 55 wins. And it's going to be like, presuming he's going to go on a run. I do think the last stretch of the season is going to determine this. It's too close, right? Too many dudes are having the last stretch of the season. So if this is Steph's worst stretch, if he goes off and they end up a top seed, and now the money's down, catch up. We sell. Oh, yeah. Now give them to me now. Before I wouldn't have done it. But now, while he's shooting 30% for January. Oh, yeah. Give me that.
Much of his slump is due to just Draymond being out?
I think it's all a product of him chasing that record. He just started developing some bad habits. And then the fatigue. Steph is a high ADD dude, so he's got to be, like, all on point. Like, I think he's tired. And the truth is, he always has this. It's just never been this bad and this long. And then after the All-Star break, he turns up. But now he's frustrated. He's chucking, trying to end it. He wants to make three in a row so bad. So now it's just kind of a monster that's eating itself. But I think it began with the record chase. Because he was just chucking threes. He was just, it was terrible. Just chucking 15 threes a game, trying to get it over with. And I think he developed some bad habits that he's kind of got to work through.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the Steph on the low money, baby. Let's go. Yeah. Oh, what? I'm with that one.
I'm going Joel Embiid. Okay. Joel Embiid. I mean, I don't know if he will win it. But he has been so dominant over the last month or so, and I don't see that stopping. I also think there's a chance, and I don't know how big that chance is, obviously, because of the Harden stuff and because of everything Morey has said, but there's a chance they go out and pick up some game-changing talent by the trade deadline, and then all of a sudden, you look up at the end of the season, and not only is Embiid posting 30 and 12 every night, but he's doing it for a team that's climbing the standings because all of a sudden there's more talent around him. So I think Embiid is a good bet, but there's nobody right now is head and shoulders above the rest. Like for a while, Steph was, for a while, KD was. KD got hurt. Steph has been in a just weird slump. So there are a whole bunch of dudes kind of in the same boat. Maybe Anthony Edwards.
Oh, and maybe Ant. Maybe well, Ant's going to be there
for next season.
Well, Jokic. How does Jokic not get a turn, by the way?
Well, I think Jokic is the MVP. But if DeRozan is plus 4,000, you could give me $500 to put on something. I'll go $500 for plus 4,000. You kidding me?
DeRozan's plus 4,000?
DeRozan's not that far off. Jeez. Yeah, that's what it says in this rundown. Plus 4,000? He's been so good. There are a lot of voters that like are into this narrative, and if the Bulls can hold on at all to like a top three record in the East during this no Lonzo Ball, no Derrick Jones Jr., no Alex Caruso, DeRozan, man.
They're going to plummet. They're going to plummet because the
injuries.
Probably,
but I'm just saying it's the odds.
It's sad, but that's his only narrative is like, because he's not going to be the better basketball player than other guys in the race. Like, he's been fantastic. Don't get me wrong. He's been amazing. But if you put him up against Steph, against Jokic, against Embiid,
Giannis,
like, yeah, DeRozan just isn't quite there. So his narrative is the Bulls have to be the best team in the East. And he needs to be the reason why they're there. Mm. So it's sad that they're so injured and banged up. But I think he'll drop out.
I like
out.
That call, though. DeRozan at 4,000.
I mean, come on, man. Like, this is, yeah.
That's wait, long Steph money. Is plus 300 still?
Because all the public's just going, no one's paying attention. He'd be no down. One's paying attention.
That's not a great bet. Nah, plus 300.
It really is crazy how people just don't pay attention.
No, they don't. They just like he hasn't been good by his standards in like a
he's
month
been
and
a good
half.
Floor general point guard, but that ain't why he's
sure,
MVP.
Sure, but yes. We're not that's yeah, not, that's yeah. not MVP, right? Like
it really is crazy because he can shoot 35% from the field and 30% from three and still warp the defense in a way
course,
that
yeah.
helps his team so much.
Yeah.
So even though like it's weird, it really is so strange judging him sometimes because it's like every time he steps on the court, he helps his team so much just by being the threat he is that it's weird being like, yeah, he's playing bad, but at the same time he's playing bad and still like whenever he's on the court, they are so much better.
But he's playing great. He just can't shoot to save his life. Like, I think part of the problem is, and Zach, you'll go with me here. I think he's playing way too much defense. Like, he need to cut off.
Way too much. Thank you. He's spending so much on defense.
Like, you gotta chill.
Keep those hands ready to shoot. Keep them away from deflections and everything. It's not worth it. Trust me. You
go
don't want to play
seven.
Defense.
Go the way of your seven.
Oh, just yeah, play yeah, offense. Like, if you want to be successful in this league, be Omer your seven at all times. That's the lesson.
That's if you want to be MVP, you can't be burning your energy trying to stay in front of dudes. Like, cut all this out. No. Like, he's stripping dudes. Like, he's getting, like, no. He's,
James Harden won an MVP. Russell Westbrook won an MVP. They ain't played defense. No, this is not a defensive
he's
award
trying to win.
Right here.
He's
you
too busy. Mike,
you go be Rudy
Mike
Gobert.
Mike Brown gives them a monthly defensive player of the month award of the team. He's trying to win that too much. That's
here.
His problem.
Get out of here, man. Go win MVP. Get your head right. Have some standards for yourself, man. Steph. Come
aim
on.
Aim higher, young man. Yeah, aim higher.
Yeah. By the way, BetMGM is now live in New York. There's also a special New York deal. Place your first bet of $10 on any football game with BetMGM and win $200 regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just sign up using bonus code ATHLETICNY. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget, subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Warriors Plus Minus, Anything's Potable, Down to Dunk. Don't forget No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, Forum Club, Game Notes, Michelle Beadle's Podcast, What Did I Miss with Michelle Beadle, and so many more. For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time on the Athletic NBA Show podcast.